Are you ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter. At Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At producer T. Scott. At Degenerates 975, because we don't want to put that on Tyler. He's having a hard enough time today. You know, every time I think he's ready for the big leagues, you know, we send him down. He does Soccer Matters. He does Houston Game Day. He does a really good job. Then you bring him up to the majors. He's like Alex Bregman's first week.
Are you calling him Jonathan Singleton?
Yeah. I don't quite want to put John Singleton on him.
Brett Wallace.
Because I have like a Brett Wallace shape, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Could be. Well, if you missed the first hour, you missed mostly quarterback talk, which I guess is going to dominate the landscape until something happens. I don't know. I really hope something happens soon so then we can talk about it for a couple days and then move on to it. But if you're the Cowboys, you don't have to do anything right away.
No.
Unless you're planning on signing some other people and need the cap room.
What's the date that they've got to make a decision on him by before his money kicks in?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
It's not there's not one where if they cut him by June 1st or anything like that, the money is not going to be any different with him. So they could keep him as long as they want. It's just a matter of you need to clear that space at some point to sign other people.
Right. And obviously you want to get on that before all the good guys are gone.
Yeah, a lot of people asking about why not trade for Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy may not play again.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play this year.
Yeah. He's certainly not going to play this year. He may never play again. I mean, that was a pretty serious injury. And you had your chance at him. That's what bothers me so much, AJ. All this talk about trading for Garoppolo or AJ McCarron. You had your shot at those guys.
Yeah.
You went Xavier Suafilo. You could have had Garoppolo with the first pick of the second round. You could have had Derek Carr.
You could have had A.J. McCarron.
Had A.J. McCarron even later than that. So, and now you're in the market for these guys. Well, you should have been in the market for him at the time. And okay, I get why they weren't going to take Derek Carr, but
I don't.
Well,
There
was a lot of stuff with that family. And
get over it. Well, I mean, it's business.
I get it, but you know, it's just I don't want to get into it on the air because I was told all this stuff off the record, and I understand exactly why they didn't. But I can't excuse you for not taking Garoppolo there. I mean,
can you imagine how this team would look with Derek Carr? I mean, Derek Carr is probably like. Would you say he's the biggest rising star at the quarterback position in the NFL?
I would think so, although I don't know that he would have developed here under
Maybe
O'Brien.
Not.
That's
right.
That's the thing. He might not be the same player. I don't know. I don't know what Garoppolo would have been if you'd have brought him in here. If he'd have stepped right in and run that offense like a champ, or if he'd, you know, I just it's hard to say because I haven't seen Bill O'Brien develop a quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so now what do you do? Go give up two number ones to get Jimmy Garoppolo? Give me a break. You had your chance. And I think that's that. I said that at the time. You said that at the time. You're sitting there with that first pick in the second round. You go offensive line. Okay. You're trying to fix your offensive line. Great. But there were good quarterbacks in that draft. There were good quarterback prospects, and you waited for Tom Savage.
Yep.
So.
Who, maybe Tom Savage is good. We have no idea because he can't stay on the field.
Nope. And it's not like he had the kind of pedigree you're going to look at him and say he's going to turn into a great NFL quarterback.
No. He bounced
around. Yeah. Almost all these guys, if you go back and look at what they did in college, their college teams, for great quarterbacks, their college teams were better when they were there than when they weren't. They won more games. And you know, that's a guy who never really did much, bounced around, different coaches. You know, nice size, nice arm. That's about it. 713-780-ESPN. Fred, it's your job to report the news. Spill your guts on the cars. No. When somebody tells me something off the record.
By the way, it's not Fred's job to report the news.
It is not my job to report the news. But it's one of those that if somebody tells me something off the record, it stays off the record. So that's my job. You want to go find something out like that? You do it yourself.
Go do your own
legwork. That's your job. That's right. I'm not here to report anything.
It's your job.
No. It's my job to sit here and make penis jokes, talk about Tony Romo endlessly, and that's basically it. That's all. Be entertaining. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in. And, you know, and I guess also my job to talk about what animals that we can beat the crap
right.
out of.
That's a long-standing topic. A few people have asked again today about UH and whether or not they'll make the tournament. If they win tonight, I guess, against UConn, they would get a crack at Cincinnati. And if they beat Cincinnati, the conversation opens. But as it stands today, their best win is still Rhode Island. They just have not done – they don't have any wins. They don't have a lot of bad losses, but they don't have any wins that they can hang their hat on, really. So they I honestly think they need to get to the finals at a minimum, and I still think they probably have to win the whole thing for them to make it.
I think they come up short unless they win the whole thing, because if they had beaten Cincinnati or SMU once in the regular season and then beat one of them in this tournament, I think that might be enough to put them in the conversation. But they weren't able to, and yeah, I'd love to see it, but they just don't have that body of work. And I'd be surprised if they got in short of winning the whole tournament.
Yeah. I mean, consider, and when I say Rhode Island's their best win, Rhode Island's not even a lock to make the tournament. So they don't have a win over a tournament team. It's hard to get in when that's your resume.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're actually pretty decent. The problem is the rest of their conference, the AAC is so crappy that...
Yeah, UConn's not good this year.
There's not enough meaningful wins to get you there, and you've had chances at Cincinnati, you've had chances at SMU, and you're just not as good as them.
Let's squeeze on a call. Chase.
Hey, sports guys.
Sports to you.
Hey, so just a quick question about Garoppolo. I hear a lot of people... you know, talking about, oh, he's going to be a great quarterback, and teams talking about giving up, you know, first-round picks and everything for him. But, frankly, he doesn't have that big of a body of work. And, you know, you look what happened last year with Osweiler and his really small sample size. Help me understand what the big deal, other than he's got a Patriots jersey, is with Garoppolo. Thanks.
Well, frankly, Osweiler had a much bigger body of work.
Yeah. And the points he brought up are the exact reasons why I'm not willing to invest heavily in Jimmy Garoppolo. And any amount of first-round picks is a heavy investment in a dude. And I just don't see it. Because let's say the Patriots, which, by the way, the Patriots have said they're basically not willing to take a first-round pick for him. They want multiple first-round picks. Let's say the Texans give up this year's and next year's first, which would be insane. Or even, let's make it simpler. Let's say they just give up this year's first and a second. Okay? So not even two firsts, but a first and a second. Jimmy Garoppolo comes here, and there's two nightmare scenarios. One, he plays horribly, and it's you basically just burned a first and a second round draft pick for a one-year audition of a guy who can't play. The second scenario is he plays really well, but maybe he doesn't like Bill O'Brien. Maybe he just doesn't. He's not happy in Houston. Maybe he feels like he's got a better opportunity elsewhere. Then you're getting into, do we franchise this guy? So now you've given up a first, a second, and now you're paying a franchise tag on him, and then do you franchise him? Like, what the ideal scenario would be? You trade for him. He's fantastic, and he wants to sign for a deal that fits under your cap. But there's a lot that could go the other way, and if that happens, you kind of got burned.
Yeah, but I don't see them having enough. I honestly don't see them having enough assets.
I don't either.
To be competitive if the Browns want the guy.
It's the same thing I say about Kirk Cousins. If the 49ers want Kirk Cousins, they can get him before the Texans can.
Yeah.
You know, and I still think Kirk Cousins is the starter in Washington week one. That's my thought. But yeah, I don't see Jimmy Garoppolo, like I don't see them as a good trade partner, the Texans and Patriots in this instance. I'm sure, would Bill O'Brien like to have Jimmy Garoppolo? Sure, I'm sure he would. But the Patriots' asking price is absurd. And I would assume that even Rick Smith, as senseless as that dude can be, he can't possibly say, okay, two first-round picks? Yeah, let's do that. I just can't picture that being the case.
Lauren says, Osweiler developed under O'Brien into a meme.
That's true.
Yeah, pretty good ones, too. That HEB cowboy suit will never die.
Thank God.
That was the saddest thing about that trade. That's probably the last time I can use that picture on my website of the cowboy. Mont says, Fred, are you aware Dallas media has sent crews to Houston in anticipation of Romo, according to a few shows? I am not aware of that. But I'm sure they probably sent some to Denver, too. It'd be a better story in Dallas if he came here.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, if you wish to get in. This is going to be a topic until it actually happens. And what would be funny if the Cowboys just wanted to drop a big bleep you on everybody? Just hang on to him for another month.
Yeah.
Say, all right, you're not going to trade. We're not going to cut him. But I thought all along they wanted to do right by him and let him, you know, let him go where he wants within reason. So we'll see what happens. I think the Cowboys sort of just floated it out there that they were going to cut him to see what the interest would be. And then when they saw interest, it's like, not so fast. But if there's not any actual trade interest. And I know they already invested a bunch, but what if you're Minnesota? Would you give up a fourth round pick for Romo? He's a hell of a lot better than Bradford. And at least you've got Bradford if he gets hurt.
Yeah, I guess I would, but man, I don't know what Minnesota's cap situation's like, but that's a lot of money you've got in one position.
Yeah.
And they've obviously got other holes.
They've got to fix their offensive line too. And I don't know. I just wonder if there's not some other team out there that's interested in that being the case.
I can't believe a bad team hasn't tried to trade for him. You know, like I'm not talking like Minnesota. I'm talking like an actual, like a bad team. Like, why wouldn't the 49ers throw something at him? Why wouldn't even the Browns, why not? Why not throw a fourth round pick at the guy? And
what if you're the Rams?
Sit on Jared Goff, who clearly needs to develop further. Which, by the way, that reminded me, someone was asking about Davis Webb. And I'll say the same thing about Davis Webb that I did about Jared Goff. Like, a guy coming out of that offense is going to take a long time to cook in the NFL. And now, Davis Webb in the fourth round is way more enticing than Jared Goff in the first.
Right.
If you get Davis Webb, no one's going to be pressured to play that guy. But, and you mentioned in the Vikings. I mean, the Vikings, they did do some work on that offensive line. They got Mike Remmers. I mean, that's a good start. But yeah, they still have a lot of work to do, I think. But they are apparently looking at a backup for Sam Bradford. So,
all right, guys, if you are looking for I'll give you a starter, not a backup, a starter, Saloon Door Brewing, If you're looking for a place to have a brew, watch your sports down in the Webster area, drop by the brewery at Saloon Door. It's a terrific place to watch any of the games. They've got these two projector screens on the wall. They're always playing sports, so you can go in there and check out whatever's on. Wednesday night's trivia night, and that's always huge. Trivia's always fun. You got to do that. And Thursdays they have brews and bites from 4 until 9 with food pairings with beers, catering by Missy Meals. That food is fantastic. And we're going to be out there again here very soon. But just great people out there, Jason and Austin and Jeff and Josh. All the guys out there have really put together a big menu of beers for you to choose from. And they're constantly creating and testing new seasonal flavors. It's at 105 Magellan Circle, Suite A in Webster. It's less than a half mile behind Cinemark and Cheddar's off of I-45 South. And I'll tell you what, man, it's just a cool place to go, hang out, watch sports, drink beer, and you're going to feel like it is your home brewery if you're in that area. And if you're just driving around, you're down south, go check them out. Saloon Door Brewing, saloondoorbrewing.com.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This album is dedicated to all the teachers that told me I'll never amount to nothing. To all the people that lived above the buildings that I was hustling from that called the police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter.
Yeah.
And to all my peoples in the struggle, you know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby.
It was all from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. All right, I'm going to give away more tickets here. Two of you are going to win a pair of tickets to see Experience Hendrix 2017 this Saturday, March 11th. That's tomorrow at Revention Music Center. Don't miss a tribute to the imbuing passion, respect, and talent whilst pursuing the sheer awesomeness of the man himself, Jimi Hendrix. Tickets are available at houston-theater.com. Callers number 11 and 16. You're going to get two pairs of tickets. Don't ask me why I picked those numbers at random, but I did.
I like it.
I have one more pair to give away at some point today. Short segment here, so we'll squeeze on a call real quick because we talked too much last segment. That's on.
We got to get to RJ, and that'll be a long segment.
Yeah,
as it usually is.
Yeah, at some point, and I know Tyler, you're not. Familiar with this, but a lot of times with RJ, we just keep going, and you're going to have to rearrange everything because
I'm aware.
He's so good. Yeah, it's always the best segment. It's essentially become two segments now, and I'm okay with that. We're well within our rights. Let's grab Tobias. What's up, Tobias?
Hey, sports guys.
Sports to you.
Hey, I hear you guys talking about college quarterbacks in the draft a lot, and especially for Houston possibilities, right?
Right.
Now, I don't see Houston taking somebody like Davis Webb. He's probably going to go to, San Francisco sometime later in the draft. And Torgerson, I see him going like really late in the draft to Arizona. But what about had to clear my throat. What about Dobbs? What do you think of him?
Yeah, we talked about him a little bit earlier. He's a guy that I wouldn't mind if they threw something at him in the fourth round, fifth round. But the only way that works is you invest in a veteran free agent quarterback, because you can't have Tom Savage and Josh Dobbs be your depth chart. It's not a realistic thought process to go with. So yeah, I like Josh Dobbs actually compared to where Josh Dobbs will be drafted. I like Josh Dobbs compared to a lot of the other quarterbacks and where they'll be drafted. How about that? I'm not crazy about Josh Dobbs. I don't think Josh Dobbs is ever going to be a starting quarterback caliber guy, but I think he's a guy who could be a backup. And if you're drafting in the fourth, fifth, sixth round, that's not the worst thing to find.
I think he could develop into that kind of player. He's got the potential to develop into it if you trust your coaching staff to develop him.
Yeah.
But again, you're not drafting him to play. And I think you're drafting him to kind of hang on for a while and sit and learn and hopefully get better. So I'm kind of curious. It's
now, and I will say again about Dobbs. We're getting into that other. I mean, this is a college spread quarterback. This isn't a pro style quarterback, which is so far that seems to be what Bill O'Brien's most interested in. So while I like Dobbs there, Bill O'Brien probably hates guys like Josh Dobbs.
I don't know what he likes, because all we know is he likes guys that have Patriot ties for the most part.
Well, I mean, so far we've seen that he likes big, slow guys.
Yeah.
He's into that.
Yeah, well, I was going to make a Penn State joke. I think it bothers me less, though, if you're taking a spread guy and you're going to develop him.
Yeah.
Because if you're taking a guy like that and you expect him to play right away like Jared Goff, that's not a good sign. But if you're going to sit on him for a while and let him learn, that's great. And you can't just ignore all spread guys, because that's almost every offense in college football now. And so, and I think that's why a lot of these guys aren't really ready when they come out. But you know, I don't mind him at all. He's one of the guys that I'm interested
in. You know what's funny? There's a guy who isn't being talked about at all, but it seems like as he was coming up, like his draft stock and like the way he would translate to the NFL has seemed to go downhill. But do you remember when Gunnar Kiel was like,
oh God,
people thought he was a surefire NFL prospect?
He wound up being third string for Cincinnati last year.
But I mean, he's the kind of guy I could see being drafted, though, or making a team at like as an undrafted free agent, because he's got a great arm. His accuracy sucks, but he's got like a pro skill set for the most part. He's got like he's got an NFL arm. He's got NFL size. He just throws a lot of picks, and that's something that he would obviously have to get off of. But that's a guy that I could see. You know, that's the kind of guy that I feel like Bill O'Brien would use a late round flyer on and try to build into something.
I think he's a better Christian Hackenberg.
I think that's probably fair. And Christian Hackenberg went in what, the second round?
Yeah.
Yeah, Gunnar Kiel you could probably get in the seventh round.
Or undrafted even.
Right.
All right. Guys, let's talk Texas Mattress Makers, because everybody wins at Texas Mattress Makers. I love my mattresses from Texas Mattress Makers. I know AJ loves his.
Love it.
And guess what? You buy direct from the factory and you can see the savings for yourself. And now it's March Madness Play and Win with even more savings. You're already saving a bunch of money. Now it's 5 to 50% off factory prices, and you can play and win all month long only from the sleep experts at Texas Mattress Makers. And visit TexasMattressMakers.com, and you'll see a complete list of all the types of beds available on sale, as well as for better sleeping tips. And Yuval's family have been making mattresses and foundations for over 30 years at the corner of Lockwood and Navigation, and they know everything about these mattresses. They're constantly making better beds, and I've got that Athens bed now, which is just amazing. And you could go to a retail store, spend a bunch more money, not get the same quality, and you know, why would you do that when you can go to Texas Mattress Makers? Yuval and the gang, Lax, all of them, will put you on the best bed for you. And you can play and win right now. Go and visit them. 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. Tell them you're a Blitzer. They love the Blitzers. Texas Mattress Makers is the best sleep at the best price. Guaranteed. TexasMattressMakers.com.
ESPN 97.5. This segment with RJ Bell is brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com,
a GE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, and my favorite segment of the week, the world's gambling guru. You can follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas, founder of pregame.com. RJ Bell joins us. RJ, how the heck are you, sir?
You know, great intros from you guys. I love it. It's not quite Apollo Creed in Rocky One. The Count of Monte Fisto, for example,
that's
one
good.
Of my favorites.
That's a good one.
Yeah, although I think there was a porn star with that name too, though. So,
oh, I wouldn't know about that. I'm not. Wait a minute. I think I'm following you now.
So we're out, there's a lot of talk about how a certain quarterback might affect the odds of a certain team. So I want to jump right into it. What are the odds on the Saskatchewan Roughriders now that Vince Young has signed?
Lord, this is where you start.
No,
so let me ask you guys, is what's been the reaction in town to the trade?
I mean, it was complete excitement. I mean, no one was worried about a second-round pick. I mean, it gave people some renewed hope because realistically it was going to be hard for the Texans to add a solid veteran quarterback if they still had Brock's contract on the books. And for I think most people, like the initial reaction was, God, the Browns are really stupid. I think it's a good trade for both teams. But Texans fans, I mean, there's no one sad to see that guy go.
Well, in a weird way, and I think Bill Barnwell had an interesting piece on it. You know, it from his perspective, and it makes sense to me, is, you know, how valuable are those picks in a cash sense? And the thing about cash is, it's one in the NFL, it's one thing to spend or not have to spend cash, but the way that cash is applied to the salary cap, to me, is even bigger. So, yeah, you're saving money, but also, as you said, freeing yourself up. And I also think, and in my opinion, this puts a buy sign on Houston, not because of the team they have now, but because of the type of aggressiveness you would expect in the quarterback market because of this move.
Yeah, well, this obviously Tony Romo is the big talk down here. How much would that – I know we talked about a couple weeks ago how much it would move the odds, but how much of a difference will it make odds-wise if Tony Romo is a Texan versus where they are right now with Tom Savage as your top guy?
Big time difference. The odds we project would more than double for the Houston Texans to win the Super Bowl. 40-1 or so at the time, and this was a few weeks ago where I called around and got opinions from the bookmakers and the batters here in Vegas, and 40-1, and the odds adjustment expectation was about 17-1. So more than doubling. And I find this interesting, is the tiers of teams that Houston would be with. It'd be right around the Steelers, right around the Denver Broncos, right around the Oakland Raiders. So really just that second tier behind 1A, New England, and then there's Green Bay, there's Atlanta, Seattle's right there between Tier 1 and Tier 2. So, I mean, amongst literally the very best teams in the NFL, just a smidge down from there.
RJ Bell is our guest. What would the impact be if he went to Denver? Did you guys do that kind of research?
Yes, and it, to me, it's all, you know, relative. And the sense was, and I think that we can speak a little more frankly now, is, though we did do it all year, is Osweiler was, you know, perhaps the worst starting quarterback that started multiple games, or, you know, let's just say first string starter, right? The one they intended to start in the league. And as much as Simeon is no great, you know, not the next Joe Montana, but, you know, significantly better. So I think a little bit more, you know, I think an upgrade for Denver, but not quite as much.
RJ, are there any strategies that you can use here in these last couple days of the conference tournaments here going into next week? Is there anything specific that, you know, a way to kind of dive into these games, because they play so many games, one right after another? Do you have some things you look for, some tactics you use?
So I think you've touched on one of the main ones, is during the regular season, during any time pretty much, except the tournaments at the end of the year, these players are playing twice a week. You know, there's some holiday stuff and rare exceptions, but in general, they're playing twice a week. And now they're potentially playing, you know, four. I think there's somewhere there's five times if they went out. And you just got to look at that factor, how young the team is. And in this case, it's the opposite. Usually young means they can play, you know, more. right, in the NBA, right, a young team. But here, if you're 18 or 19, it's probably a little harder than if you're 20 or 21. But, you know, maybe youth isn't even the issue as much as the depth of the rotation, right? If the average player is playing 30 minutes versus 35, you know, in that third or fourth game, it's meaningful. Also, some teams had a bye and some teams didn't. One less game starts to matter more later. Actually, in round two, teams with a bye are sometimes at a disadvantage. The team that got one game under their belt, got used to the neutral site, can be an advantage. But come Saturday and Sunday, that bye is an advantage, where playing that extra game is a disadvantage. And lastly, motivation is, if you have a team who's not – that's in the tournament but also not competing for a number one seed, I mean, if it's the difference between 2 and 3, if it's the difference between 6 and 7 as a seed, and if you have a coach that's pedigreed, right, new coach is going to want to win. They're going to want to bolster that resume. But you see it with Coach K. You see it with a lot of these, you know, Boeheim over the years, is these secure coaches that don't have much to play for, winning that Big East tournament or not, probably not as much motivation as you might think. Now, we won't be able to, and again, maybe we will get to do a Wednesday segment if you guys want, but assuming we don't, before the tournament start, here's a real actionable piece of information. Look for teams that won their tournament, played on Sunday, look to fade them when they play Thursday. So Thursday instead of Friday, because one less day of rest, you know they just played a bunch of games in a row, and you know the public saw them look great. A lot of the bettors haven't paid much attention till this weekend. So Team X all of a sudden runs out, wins the SEC, looks good on Sunday. Now they're laying 14 on Thursday. That is a professional play 101. Not blindly, but look to play against that team, because the confluence of events is making the public looking to play on them, and the wise guys want to go the other way.
I may have you rain on my parade here, but I love this week for betting college hoops, because – I feel in my head I've got a little bit of an edge because there's so many games happening at once and teams are playing back to back with no night off, and I feel like maybe there's a little more wiggle room in the lines that Vegas is putting out, and I just feel like I've in my head I've got an edge. Do you believe that to be true during this time of year?
Absolute agreement.
Good.
On that. Let me give you an example. You know, back in my college days at The Ohio State University, you know, I knew a lot of serious drinkers. I mean, these are serious drinkers. And they used to call New Year's Eve, they would call it amateur hour, right? Amateur night, right? Is, oh, you know, they don't drink on a Tuesday in February, but they're drinking tonight. Well, sports bettors look at March Madness, you know, the big dance, you know, the serious guys, it's amateur night, right? It's okay. Oh, you're getting real involved in daytime basketball on Thursday. Whoopee. This week is the pros love so much more. And listen, Vegas is really fun, no doubt about it, on both these weeks. But March Madness especially, if you're looking at the ambiance, you're looking at the experience, I mean, it is really a one of a kind. But talking honestly about the opportunities, I think there's more this week. And you touched on it. Bookmakers are human beings. And you can't just ramp up, right? Amazon during Christmas can ramp up for people working, you know, in their, you know, loading trucks and delivering boxes. Well, how do you ramp up odds makers? Right? There's not a lot of them waiting there to get the on-demand turned on when they need them these couple weeks a year. So what happens? Everyone is just overworked. So they're either spending less time on the games, or, you know, they're working so many hours that they start to, you know, be less efficient. Whatever it is, I think it's unequivocal. In aggregate, the lines are softer. There's less expertise in making these lines. There's one more factor, which is, in almost every other case, you know who's going to play far ahead of time.
Right.
Right? Except for the playoff. I mean, literally, this is Team A's playing Team B, 7 o'clock Eastern. Team C's playing D at 10:30 or 10 Eastern. And, you know, the winner of the first one, the winner of the second one, they're playing, you know, less than 24 hours later. And the line's going to be up not that long after the matchup is set. So forget when the game tips off. It's that opening number. So just the dynamicness of it and how relentless it is, how unrelenting it is, I think creates weakness. And remember, I hate bookies, right? A lot of people think, oh, the Vegas guys, you know, there's a bookie, there's a better, it both starts with a B, they're both in Vegas. No. As people, they're fine. You know, maybe I'll go to a barbecue, maybe, right? But their job is to win, and a bettor's job is to win, and both can't win. It is a zero-sum game. And to me, whenever I see something that's hard on the bookies, I laugh with a little cackle, and I think, where's the opportunity? And to me, I think one of the worst things in this industry as it matures is the way that, you know, quite frankly, and just to be a little bit candid here, like ESPN.com, they feel like the reporting on Vegas is about bookmakers because bookmakers are kind of like them because they wear a suit and they might meet him, you know, see him at a conference or something. And it's like, oh, yeah, we can relate to this fellow who runs this sports book. But really, that sports book's got its own agenda, and that agenda is diametrically opposed to the bettors. And, yeah, hey, for some bookies out there listening, some local guys, congratulations. I don't like you. We're not on the same side. But the reality is most of the reporting that happens in the mainstream, they don't really know. They can't really even quantify which bettors are good. They don't know enough themselves to know. So the bookmakers got that VP of X title. And I think it's really causing some disinformation to be out there. And I do think it's important to identify that this is, obviously it's not life and death, but this is a conflict and there can only be one winner.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that a little more, because I noticed that most of their stories are, oh, well, this book lost so much on this weekend and everything else.
Yeah,
and
I'm like, great, yeah, great.
Yeah.
I'm happy.
Good for them. But And besides you guys, I mean, I think the more interesting thing is from our side of it. And where is the media on that in terms of guys who are trying to beat these bookies?
Well, I mean, you know, and again, I've been lucky with, you know, obviously, you know, some of this is I really like spreading the word, right? I mean, it is, you know, during Super Bowl week when I, you know, did, I think it was 26, you know, 10 to 15 minute radio spots over a 3-day period or whatever. It's obviously there's a business side to it, right? We get to spread the word about pregame.com. And on the other hand, it's I want to spread the word more generally because I think, you know, the rising tide lifts all boats, right? The more that the old two for the money model is put into the past, because it really is. I mean, yeah, there's still scammers out there, but there's so much transparency on the internet. Is if there's someone you're considering, and this is the best advice I can give for the list. You know, obviously I like what we do, right? I handpicked my team, and I really like what we do. But obviously that makes sense, right? It's me saying it, so take it with a grain of salt. Here's the advice, though. Anytime someone says winning is easy, hey, make some easy money, inside information, don't miss this opportunity, all that kind of talk that this is easy, run the other way. And really, the if you look at it number-wise, anyone that's saying 60% or better long-term is run fast the other way. Because the reality is a guy like a Steve Fezzik, a guy that is one of our core handicappers, only got to win the Super Contest twice, which is like the World Series of sports betting. He won it twice back-to-back. No one else has ever done it. He hits about 54.5%. Now, he's been with pregame. This is his fourth year. He's won all four of those years, but never more than like 55%. So people might say, wait a minute, a coin flip is 50, 55. That's only one out of 20 games different. Yeah, but if a baby flipped a coin, you're going to win 50. What you got to do to break even is win 52.4. So the difference between 50 and break even is 2.4%. That is the house edge on you. The difference between, now think about this, 52.4 and 55 is 2.6. So literally the professional bettor who hits 55% has a bigger edge over the bookie than the bookie has over a baby flipping a coin. So it's all about the half points. And that, but that's not sexy. That's not exciting. That's not saying sell your house, sell your car, sell your kids. This is a game that is about nuance. It's about the accumulation of small edges. Doesn't mean that that's the only way you can bet. Because what people don't realize is, you know, let's call the hold 5%. It's a little bit less than that, but let's say the hold's 5%. That same baby flipping a coin, if you played five games a weekend, $20 a game, which is an amount that a lot of people bet, meaning it's not a lot, obviously, but okay, so you got $100 a week going on, you would lose less than $5 a week. So in a month, you would lose $20 if you bet five games at $100 total, 20 times five. Now think about that. You and your wife go into a movie without popcorn. If you sneak in some Snickers bars that you got at Sam's Club to see a movie with just you and your significant other costs more than $20, right? So you can bet an entire month, five games a weekend, and your expectation is minus $20 if you're flipping a coin. So to me, this can be a very fun thing and recreational. The danger is if someone thinks that they're doing it like a professional and they're not, now they start betting not 20 but 200. And for what, you know, obviously it's all relative to your bankroll, to your money, but people can get in trouble that way. So to me, in a weird way, we go both extremes, as in, hey, listen, listener, it's going to be really hard to win. So make sure you're doing this recreationally. By the way, if you want a better chance to win, here's some ways to go about it. Just know it's tough.
That's RJ Bell. And RJ, I don't know if you've noticed this, but we've started sneaking this into basically two segments now. So
so I can say I did 27 segments for the Super Bowl. Just add one.
Yeah, just add one. Add one. That was great stuff as always, my friend. So
hey, I appreciate it, guys. And next week, one way or the and worst case, if we'll see about doing a Wednesday, but if we don't, I'll send you guys those bracket rules and you can use them yourself, you know, one way or the other, because it really is quickly. I know we got to run, but at each round of the tournament, there is a historical ceiling that if you have a team worse than a certain seed each round, you are bucking like three decades of history, and it really helps simplify doing the brackets.
Yeah, we'll definitely try to squeeze you on Wednesday for sure if you can do it. That'd be great.
All right, my pleasure. Thanks, guys.
All right, RJ Bell, pregame.com. So do we need to tell people about Blue Apron here? Okay, we'll do it.
Well, do it on the other side of the break.
All right. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Segment with RJ Bell was brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
Visit AcceptanceAppliance.com for all your home appliance needs.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Let's Rodeo, Houston. Alicia Keys.
Let's Rodeo.
Alicia Keys is performing tonight for just $18. You can see the best music, rodeo action, shopping, dining, and carnival fun. Buy your tickets today at RodeoHouston.com for Alicia Keys. So you have that. What's the other one I have to do here? Just Jong sends me all this stuff via email. Oh, I forgot about this. Oh, here you go. Rice Baseball is back this weekend at Reckling Park versus the number 16-ranked Stanford University. It's Sustainability Weekend. Visit with local sustainability groups and learn about sustainable living in Houston. If you bike to the park on any of the games this weekend, you will get a discounted ticket and a free water bottle from Houston Methodist. Don't miss out on the action for this series. 9th through the 12th, get your tickets today at riceisles.com/BSBtix. How's that?
Sounded good.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. Hope the weather cooperates this weekend. You got any big plans?
Same as every weekend now, kids baseball.
Ah.
Yeah, like last weekend, the way these select tournaments work is you spend all Saturday playing games to figure out where you're going to be seated for Sunday.
Right.
And then Sunday is like a single elimination tournament. So we got through all the games on Saturday, figured out where we were seated, and then Sunday got rained out.
Ugh.
So and that'll probably be the way that it goes again today or to this weekend.
Well, I'm doing the hip hop run in the morning, which I think Paul Wall is hosting. So that should be interesting. And be out at the track tomorrow night doing the lawnmower race. And then Sunday, my ass is not getting off the couch.
No. You're watching football all day.
No, no football.
Well, there's conference championship Sunday.
I will be watching basketball.
Selection Sunday.
I'll be watching that. And then Monday, I start my, get back in shape personal trainer plan.
Oh, yeah?
So I'm diving in hard starting Monday. So
you got a dude or a chick personal trainer?
I have a guy.
Okay.
So.
Is he foreign?
No. Why?
I don't know. I like to picture like some Eastern European yelling at you while you do squats.
Like Hans and Franz?
Yeah. You call that a squat, girly man?
There was an Indian guy.
Oh, okay.
But I couldn't really understand him, so I don't know if it would work
for me. Oh, okay. Thought maybe you would get a chick, too.
Nah. I look too disgusting to be around any attractive young woman.
That makes sense.
All right. We got to tell you about Blue Apron.
Yes.
And if you're looking for healthy food, you're looking for good food, affordable food that you can make yourself, well, how about this? Less than $10 per person per meal for Blue Apron. And you can choose from a variety of new recipes each week, or you can let their team surprise you. And these recipes are awesome. My wife keeps a bunch of them, and we've used them again and again. You also have a flexible plan. They can customize your recipe each week based on your preferences. They've got a lot of delivery options, so you can choose what fits your needs. And here's the best part. Even I can do it. Each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients that can be prepared in 40 minutes or less.
Yeah, and they're really flexible with their deliveries. Let's say, for instance, it's spring break, and you're going to be out of town, and you say, well, damn, I don't want my Blue Apron delivery sitting on my porch all week. No problem. You can just skip that delivery and have it come next week. They make it as easy as they can for you to eat right, and I think that's one of the great things about them. Check out this week's menu. Get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/blitz. You're going to love how good it feels and tastes to create these incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/blitz. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Come out now, you chilling with a boss, big cards SC on the sleeve. After 40-40 club, ESPN on the screen.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.